You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
And today we wrap up our, I guess, fairly brief look into the book of Acts. And the last few weeks we've been talking about just kind of trying to narrow this study down to a few final thoughts. We talked about being committed to the mission of Christ and how important it is for you and I as individuals and corporately as a church to not just have made a commitment to Jesus, but to have come to a place in our walk with Him where we've also made a commitment to His mission in this world, and to understand that all of us who are saved are part of that mission. So we talked about being committed to the mission, and then we talked about being committed to community, the importance of being intertwined in each other's lives, to walking the road together, to supporting one another, encouraging one another, cheering each other on. Last week we talked about being committed to worship and how important it is for us to make sure that we don't just see worship as singing songs here on Sunday, but we see worship as the way we live out our lives throughout the week, and how important it is for us to make sure that we've dedicated ourselves to Him before we come and worship Him, and to make sure that we are sacrificing something in our life to Him, something that costs us something before we come and worship Him. And once we've done those two things, then we're free to come and truly worship the Lord. And I'll tell you what, guys, your singing last Sunday at the close of the service was phenomenal. And this morning you sounded so good. I ran back to get a drink of water during one of the songs this morning. And just coming back up the hallway and hearing you lift your voices to the Lord just gave me goosebumps. It's a wonderful thing to hear people singing and praising the Lord together. So we want to be a church that's committed to worship. Today, I want to bring this kind of to a close by sharing with you just a very simple, practical message. And the final thing I want to talk to you about this morning is being committed to maturity. Committed to maturity. There was a comedian from Russia years ago. I think it was in the early 80s. He was real popular. A guy named Yakov Smirnov. Anybody remember that guy? Very funny guy. I used to love his sense of humor. And he told stories all the time about the transition of coming from Russia, just this sort of gray, barren place for the most part, and coming over here to America and just seeing the abundance of the stuff we have here. And he shared his experience of walking into a grocery store for the first time in America, and he was just overwhelmed with the choices. You know, 50 types of breakfast cereal. I mean, there's anything you can imagine. And coming from Russia, he'd never seen that before. And so he used to say, you know, he remembered the first time in a grocery store just walking around picking up things and reading what it was, and just in disbelief, you can buy a bottle of chocolate syrup that you can squirt on whatever you want. I mean, well, this is freedom, man. This is great. And he said he remembered seeing powdered milk. You just add water and you've got milk. He couldn't believe it. And he saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and you've got orange juice. And he saw powdered pancakes. You just add water and you've got instant pancakes. And then he said, I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what a country. Well, there's no such thing as instant maturity. You know, sometimes as parents, we think that would be a great thing if our kids could just instantly mature. But of course, that would be a horrible thing because we would be bypassing the process that things were designed to go through. There's no such thing as instant maturity. But it is the natural course of nature, the natural course of God's design for things to grow and mature. When you plant a seed in the ground, you're not surprised when it grows. You're surprised when it doesn't grow because you know something has gone wrong. When you see little babies and you watch them over the course of time, you're not surprised to see them grow. If they don't grow, you know that something is wrong. And yet, we seem to take no notice at all when a church filled with people fails to grow and mature spiritually year after year after year. It's not uncommon to meet someone who's been saved for 20 or 30 or 40 years and they've never matured in Christ. For some reason, that doesn't strike us as odd, but it ought to. I want to share with you this morning something I wrote down, something very simple, but I believe very true. It is God's design and God's desire for us to grow and mature spiritually. It's His design. Just as things in the physical world are designed to grow, and if they don't, we assume something is wrong, so in our spiritual lives, we are designed to grow. And there's something wrong if we're not growing and maturing. It's not only His design, it's His desire for us to grow and to mature. Now, the early church that we've been looking at for the past couple of months, we've called this series A Church on Fire because they truly were a church on fire. That early church, as you study through the book of Acts and on into the Apostle Paul's letters that follow, you see, one of the reasons they were a church on fire is because those young believers were committed to growing up in Christ and maturing in their faith and in their walk with Him. And we see those young believers growing up and maturing and going on to impact other people, their communities, and often the world for Jesus Christ because they were committed to maturity. And I would say to you guys this morning as we finish this series, I hope this isn't the end of our thinking on this subject. I hope it's just kind of a launching pad for us. But I would say to you this morning that if we want to be a church on fire, it is going to require that we are a church made up of individuals who are committed to maturity. Can I say that again? If we are going to be a church on fire, it is required that we are a church of individuals who are committed to maturing in Christ. So many verses that came to mind as I was thinking about this last characteristic of the early church and how they were committed to maturity. But I want to just share some with you actually from another place, from Hebrews, that reflects this attitude and this characteristic of the early church. If you have your Bibles, open them to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at just a few verses there quickly. All of the letters that we have in our New Testament grew out of this first group of believers that we've been looking at. It started there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit came in power. And those believers began to be committed to these things we've been talking about, and the gospel began to spread. And we see here, though, that later on, the writer of Hebrews has to write to those believers, and he has to caution them about something. And he doesn't pull any punches when he writes these verses to them. Now, I want you to hear the contrast of, as time has been ticking by, the believers from this early church where it all started, where Christianity began to grow and spread out, now years later in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, listen to the words that are written by a concerned leader of the faith writing to people. He's been sharing some spiritual things, and in verse 11 he says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." Oh, that's tough to hear. You're slow to learn. Verse 12, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And then on in verse 1 of chapter 6, he continues this thought. He says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity." Now, I'm 45 years old, and can you imagine what a bizarre sight it would be if I was still in the first grade? Imagine if, as a 45-year-old man, I got up every morning, and I got my lunchbox, and I went to first grade, and I tried to squeeze my 6'3", 215-pound body into one of those little first-grade desks. That'd be awesome, right? Melissa, you would have a blast teaching me. I mean, that would be a bizarre thing. And if I sat there all day and I said things like, "See, Spot, run. Run, Spot, run." Well, I mean, you would scratch your head and you'd look at me and you'd really wonder what in the world was going on, because there'd be something extremely unnatural about that. Now, when you're in first grade, you're expected to learn and talk about elementary things. But you're not expected to stay in first grade. You're expected to move on, to mature, and to go on to bigger and better things. You know, we have all these beautiful little babies at Life Point. And a lot more on the way, by the way. I mean, we've got a real problem with our nursery space. And we're working through that to try to figure out what to do. I don't know what's going on. There's lots of babies coming. I mean, y'all need to get another hobby or something. You need to read a book once in a while or watch TV or something. There's lots of babies coming. That's a great thing. It's creating problems for us, though. Good problems to have. I'm not sure where I was going with that whole thought. Maturity. Thank you. So we got lots of babies here and lots of babies coming. And here's the thing. We look at those beautiful little babies and we see them drinking their bottles of milk. And we understand that they can't eat a 12-ounce sirloin steak from Outback. We know that. They're not ready for that yet. All they can do right now is drink milk out of a bottle. And that's perfectly normal. But if we see a 10-year-old kid running around here drinking milk out of a bottle and sucking on a pacifier, that's just bizarre. Sandy and I know some folks, not in this church, but I have to say that because I don't want anybody to go home like freaking out. Was he talking about our kid? Because somebody a long way away. They have a 10-year-old daughter who still drinks out of a sippy cup. One of those little sippy cups. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just weird. It just looks freaky. And you can't help but looking at that going, what is the deal with that? It's time to mature. It's time to grow up and put those things down. The writer here in this passage is writing out of such care and concern for these believers whose roots came from a church on fire. And he's writing to them saying, guys, you've been taught the truth again and again and again, but you're not maturing. You haven't been putting into practice what you've been hearing. You see in verse 14 there, he said, solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves. James says, be doers of the word, not just what? Hearers only. there are so many blessings that you and I can reap from diving into God's Word for ourselves, from pursuing a constantly maturing relationship with Christ. There are so many blessings that come from that. We could do a whole series on the blessings of pursuing God. But one of those amazing blessings, this is always such a great thing for me to think about. Jesus shared this in John chapter 16. He said to his followers, starting in verse 12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." In other words, you're not ready for what I want to tell you. You haven't matured to the point of being able to absorb the incredible things that I want to tell you. But he goes on to say, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears." And watch this. "He will tell you what is yet to come." When a baby has had nothing but milk to drink, ever, and it gets its first taste of baby food, unless it's one of those godforsaken flavors like strained peas or something, when that baby has had nothing but milk its whole life and it gets that first taste of Gerber's banana pudding, I mean, it's like it just gobbles it down. That baby cannot get enough. And you know what that baby's thinking at that very moment? This is the best stuff in life. It cannot possibly get any better than this right here. This is the best that life can offer. This is awesome. And you know why that baby thinks that? Because he doesn't know what is yet to come. Are you with me, church? That baby has only matured past milk to Gerber's baby food. And right now, man, that baby is thinking, life is sweet. This is great. It doesn't get any better than this. But the only reason that baby is content to eat strained spinach and whatever else they pump into those little Gerber's bottles is because he doesn't know what is yet to come. You know what? When you've tasted steak, bologna doesn't taste that good anymore. Amen, indeed. I mean, you get that filet from Outback or those barbecue ribs from Arizona's, and I'm telling you, bologna doesn't taste that good at that point because you've grown past what you thought was the best thing in life possible, and you've tasted better things. God says here in John 16 and throughout the Word, God says, "Hey, children, I've got great things that I want to share with you. Things that are so amazing, things for your future. I want to share my plans with you for your life. But if you're not pursuing me, I'll never be able to share those things with you." He goes right on in verse 14 and he says, "The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." Listen to this. "That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." There's so much that God wants to reveal to you for your life. He wants to open up His plans to you for your life and for your future. But we so often miss it because we never open the book. We have such a treasure trove in this Bible. Such treasure here. And how sad to let it go to waste. Vance Havner, the old preacher from many years ago, who was an amazing, powerful speaker, said this one time. He had a remarkable way of wording things. He was talking about the Bible and how we just sort of let it be a dust collector. He said, "We have trifled with treasures. We have played marbles with diamonds. We are like men loaded for lion hunting who spend our days chasing butterflies. If we only knew what we had in this book." What if some famous person who you greatly admire, whether it's a Christian leader, whether it's a famous athlete, a musician, an actor, a politician — aren't many politicians we can admire nowadays, it seems — but somebody that you just would love to meet, you'd love to get to know. What if that person contacted you personally and said, "Hey, I would love to begin to share my personal vision with you. I would love to share my plans for life with you." Would you say, "Nah, not interested"? No, of course you wouldn't. Dale, what if Eric Clapton called you and said, "Hey, Dale, I want to share with you some of my secrets about guitar playing"? Would you go, "Hey, man, I don't have the time for that"? You could share some things with him, too, by the way. Dale's holding back up here on Sundays. I'm telling you, you should hear him when he lets loose on that thing, right? I mean, it's phenomenal. It's unbelievable. He's holding back big time. It's like shades of Stevie Ray Vaughan there. But, you know, you wouldn't turn that down, would you, Dale? I'm so sorry. I've embarrassed Dale. He wouldn't turn that down. He wouldn't hang up the phone on Eric Clapton and go, "I'm not interested in you sharing anything with me." And yet, listen, guys, the God of the universe comes to us again and again and again through His Word. And He says, "I've got things that I want to share with you, personally with you." And we take our Bible home from church and we throw it on the shelf and we don't pick it up again until we're rushing out the door the next Sunday. Why is that? We've got to be committed to pursuing God in His Word. This is how we get to know Him. God says, "Everything belongs to me." Right here in John 16, Jesus described that. "Everything belongs to my Father, and all that He has, He wants to share with you." Are we plugged in? Are we committed to maturity and to following Him? Here's the thing. I know I've told you this a lot. Please allow me to tell you again. If you are truly committed to becoming a mature follower of Christ, it will not happen merely by coming here and listening to me speak for an hour on Sunday. It won't happen. It is going to require that you exercise the self-discipline to make time in your life to pursue God on your own. I know that's bad news for some, maybe. A lot of people just want to drive through faith. They pull up to the window on Sunday morning, they get their order, and off they go. That's not how you mature. I want to challenge you this morning, and I'm almost done. I want to finish early today so we can have time for the kids. But I want to challenge you this morning to be self-feeders. Don't try to grow in your walk with Christ and become mature just by listening to whoever's up here teaching on Sundays. You won't grow that way. You won't. I can't go to the gym and exercise for you. I can't do that. If you want to get in shape, you've got to get off the couch and you've got to go and exercise for yourself. We all know that. You can't be nourished by listening to me describe food. You can get hungry. And see, that's the thing. When I get up here and speak to you on Sundays, yes, I'm hoping to challenge you and cheer you on and raise the bar for us and set some direction. But I can't give you the nourishment that you need by simply describing the word to you. What I want to do is to make you hungry, so that you leave here and you begin exercising those muscles for yourself. You begin pursuing God yourself. I brought with me today, I brought some candy today. I don't eat a lot of candy anymore. You know, when I was a kid, you kind of live for candy. Somebody said when you're young, you have the desire, but you don't have the means to get everything you want. And when you're older, you have the means, but you don't have the desire anymore. Kind of ironic about life. But I brought some candy today. A strawberry Laffy Taffy. I don't eat these much, but these are good. It's one of those pieces of candy that when you... They're hard to get open, too, which is actually a good thing because you're burning calories just trying to get into it. But, and they're really sticky, so they're hard to talk when you eat it. But I'm telling you, this is good. I mean, it's one of those candies that when you eat it, it's like fireworks going off on your taste buds. It's so good. It's just... Your mouth just waters. It's so juicy. It's a wonderful experience. And I wish you could taste what I'm tasting right now. But you can't. Because you've got to have one for yourself. Now, my mom raised me to be a gentleman. And she said, Phil, if you're going to eat candy in front of other people, make sure you bring enough for everyone. So I want you to taste this morning. And there's no easy way to pass this out, so heads up. I want everybody to taste these. I want everybody to have one. Watch your eyes. Watch your eyes. Heads up. Oh, man. I hope we have enough. Pass them around. Everybody needs one. Did you guys get one? Everybody. Heads up. Everybody. Now, the only thing Tommy Jenkins is thinking about right now is who's going to clean up this mess. All right, who didn't get one? Who? Oh, the sound booth. There you go, guys. Everybody get one. Open it. I want you to eat it now. I want you to taste it. It's good, healthy stuff. And if you're able to get part of the wrapper off in one piece, What I want you to do is take that and put it in your Bible and just leave it there. And every time you see that, I want you to remember that you can't taste of God's goodness through me. You've got to taste it for yourself. Guys, you want to know the riches of God? Do you want to know the greatness of God? You're going to have to taste it for yourself. I want to encourage you today as we close to dive deep into the Bible. Not just for information, but for transformation. There's so much waiting in God's Word for you. So much that He wants to show you. And as you taste that candy this morning, the sweetness of that flavor, I want you to think about all the beauty, the riches, the sweetness that is waiting for you in the Word of God. And I hope that together we can do what the Bible challenges us to do. Let us leave the elementary teachings and go on to maturity. I don't want us to be a church who spends our life in first grade. I want us to be a church who's committed to maturity. I was so encouraged this week to get an email from one of the ladies in our church. I won't say who it is, but a sweet lady in our church wrote to me and she said, "Phil, I've been a Christian a long time, but I've never really disciplined myself to be in God's Word every day." And she said, "Your message last week challenged me to do that, and I've started, and I'm making a commitment to be in God's Word." Can I encourage you guys? Don't depend on me to feed you everything you need. Let's be a church committed to maturity and see what God will do through us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this simple message this morning would be one that becomes very real to us. I pray that there would be some folks here today who would take this challenge seriously, and that they would not be content to just coast along in the Christian life. I pray they would be committed and devoted to maturity in Christ, so that they can begin to uncover and experience and see some of the great things that you have that you want to whisper into their life. Thank you for the opportunity to pursue you. I pray that we would do it with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.